The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To another live edition on a Sunday evening of the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is a wild man, Chris Wilds, the guy directly below me. Well, that's in the know, JR. And this funny southerner over here in the corner down here, that would be Brian from the Clemson Football Podcast. Clemson Football Live, actually, I believe is the official name, and a good friend of mine, learning more and more about him and his show. I just had to bring him on tonight because, well, there's some juicy information that literally has been buried, not only in Columbus, Ohio, but in Clemson, South Carolina as well. And, well, we're just bold enough to just bring that juiciness to the surface and talk about it here. So we're looking forward to doing that. We are the official podcast of FanSided and Scarlet and Game. Head on over to scarletandgame.com. Check out many great articles. And you can also go over to theohiopodcast.com and read articles by myself, Chris. We just wrote an article earlier today about our brand new basketball coach, which we will talk about shortly. Yeah. Boy, all kinds of stuff going on today, this week. Did anything happen this week, JR? We might have lost a coach or something.
I podcasted for like 5 days straight. So
yes, you did.
Coaches were in and out at Ohio State, and it's all just a blur to me. So I think I've slept accumulatively like 8 hours the past 5 days. But if I'm a little testy tonight, you guys might get not in the know, JR. You might get testy, JR, tonight. We'll see how it goes.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Come on. This is the life you chose.
You're on my bad side, Chris. You're going to get on my bad side.
Everybody's on Chris's bad side. Come on, man. We all know this already. All right, Brian, introduce yourself. Tell everybody about Clemson Football Live, and then we're going to dive into some good stuff. Go for it.
All right. Well, first, thanks for having me on, Eric. I appreciate you reaching out to me and also inviting me to join the college huddle. So, there's a college what? Oh, no, that's my – I had an episode there. It was a stroke. Sorry, folks. Now I feel like I need to go backwards. Clemson Football Live is exactly what it is. I focus on the Clemson Tigers, and I'm kind of an outlier within the Clemson UT world because I first started off as a comedy act with a guy named Bobby Durkins, who even some Clemson fans believe is still a real person, and I've just let them believe what they want to believe. And then I just wanted to talk about Clemson football on a more serious basis. And so I started a channel about a year ago, and it's been slowly growing. And I have people who love me, and I have people who absolutely hate me because You know, I'm one of those guys who I look at Dabo Swinney and I appreciate the 12 consecutive 10-win seasons, the 6 consecutive playoff appearances, and the 2 national championships. But I also look at the past 4 years and go, man, the wheels are falling off. So, you know, that kind of puts me in a bad place at times with Clemson fans. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to talk about Ryan Day visiting Clemson.
Yeah, let's just go there, because I had no clue. I follow you, and so I happened to see this. Oh, Brian's going to talk about Ryan Day and Ohio State. He's going to pile on. Okay, here we go. And no, this was something that literally no one in the beat or in Columbus, Ohio has reported. And yet when you reported this, it's true. Ryan Day was in Clemson, South Carolina this week. Now, keep in mind, the players were on spring break. And this was an interesting trip to Clemson, South Carolina, Brian. So go ahead and spill the beans for everybody, because by now people are wondering, like, wait a minute, what was our head coach doing in Clemson, South Carolina?
Sure. So to tell you how I found out about it was I was just looking through various news outlets in this upstate of South Carolina area, trying to find out what's going on in spring practice. Is there injuries? Is there anyone who's doing better than what anyone expected? You know how it is. We're thirsty for college football right now. So as I'm scrolling through an article, out of nowhere, just towards the bottom of the article, oh, by the way, Ryan Day was in Clemson, South Carolina with his son RJ touring the campus, because RJ is a 2027 recruit. And then the article goes on. I'm sitting there going, how is it that this is buried?
Right.
One of the top coaches in college football is in Clemson, South Carolina. I mean, it's not like it's a couple of hundred miles away from Columbus. We're talking about Clemson. And he's here, and it's buried in an article. So I found that very, very interesting. So, of course, I created a video that said Ryan Day is spying on Clemson. That ruffled some feathers, of course, just for the fun of it. And then, of course, I took a shot at his beard. He was in the upstate of South Carolina procuring beard oils. And then, of course,
isn't that the same thing as tobacco juice?
Actually, yes. But then, of course, I talked about him being in town. And what was interesting is a lot of Ohio State fans started commenting, going, this is fake news. This is a lie. Why are you spreading this? This is ridiculous. And it got to the point that it started getting personal with some people. So I took the article that I shared with you, and I just started posting it as a reply comment. And I said, scroll down. Boom. He's in Clemson, South Carolina. And I believe it was somewhere around Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere in that time that he was in Clemson. I don't know that to be exact, to be the exact date, but the article was written or posted on the 13th, which was what, Wednesday? So it was probably Tuesday that he was in town.
Interesting. Now, there's two things right away I need to respond to. Number one, this week we lost our running backs coach. And if he's in Clemson, South Carolina with his son on a recruiting visit, which, you know, first off, that's his boy. He's a dad. He has every right to go there with his son. Okay. I'm not questioning Ryan Day's loyalty at all there, but how interesting if he's not in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, cause he's doing this with his son on spring break, that is the day that Tony Alford decides to cut cords and head to Ann Arbor. That to me is just the most betrayal, cowardly thing you could possibly do. Now, I'm not saying that it's true, but the timing of this is incredible. That's the first thing. The second thing, and you know how my mind works, guys. I have been wearing a tinfoil hat as an Ohio State fan for a while now. You all know that if this year doesn't go well for Ryan Day, if there is a fourth consecutive L hung on him by that team from the whore known as Ann Arbor, I can't help but wonder if Dabo Swinney, you know, while RJ was getting a tour of the beautiful campus in Clemson, South Carolina, if Dabo Swinney and Ryan Day didn't talk shop a little bit, could you see Ryan Day as the next offensive coordinator for Dabo Swinney in Clemson, South Carolina, if there is a fourth consecutive loss to that team up north and he gets the X here in Columbus, Ohio? Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, as you could say, I'm kind of contemplating this. Here's the reason why. Clemson hired Garrett Riley, Lincoln Riley, Southern Cal's head coach, hired his brother. The offense looked questionable this past year. This is kind of chasing down another rabbit trail, but I promise I'll tie it back in here.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people, when you talk about Clemson not being the dominant team that they were for such a long time, they always go, what do they always say? It's the transfer portal. It's not the transfer portal. If it were the transfer portal, our defense would be terrible. Our defense is incredible. It's poor coaching on the offensive side of the football. Go do your research. Go behind me. Check what I'm saying. Before Matt Luke was hired, right after the end of the season, there was only one guy in there who had coached at another school other than Clemson, and his name was Garrett Riley. Everybody else had first-year coaching jobs. We have two guys on our offensive coaching staff. They played at Clemson. They played a few years in the NFL. Their very first coaching job, Clemson. He filled the room with inexperience, and it finally come home and bit him in the butt. On the defensive side of the ball, totally different. So he started firing a coach about once per year. And my thought is, if Garrett Riley and the Riley brothers, they're opportunists. Someone comes along and dangles some money in front of them, they're gone. And I can't blame them for that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite here. I think Garrett Riley would bolt. I would not be shocked if maybe they did talk shop, but I don't know that for sure. But I wouldn't be shocked.
I would be disappointed if I were you in my head coach if he didn't talk shop and Ryan Day sitting there on his campus. That's how I would look at it, personally. I mean, the jury's still out on Ryan Day as a head coach. We understand this. You know, there was the, you know, he's coaching with Urban Meyer's guys for a couple years. Now he's got his own guys and he's recruited very well, but the results at the end of the season have not been great. There is a ton of expectations being placed on Day this season. As Chris wrote an amazing article that will be posted in our I don't want to say that, do I, Chris? We don't want that count.
Let's
back
keep
there.
That one just a few more weeks before we let that one out of the bag.
Okay. The seat is on fire, okay? And it's not because of anything he's done bad outside of the fact that at the end of the season, he's just not scoring, you know? As one coach famously said, he was born on third base, and, well, he's kind of stuck on third base recently. So that being said, RJ, here's what's interesting to me. RJ's very young. He's only going into his sophomore year. He has two offers that I know of in Division I. One was the Boston College when Jeff Hafley was there, which, of course, was the defensive coordinator at Ohio State and good friends with Ryan Day. The other one is Marshall, and Marshall's not exactly, let's just say, a Power 5 school here, although they are pretty good for a group of five, and they're very close to Ohio, so they're right across the river. So it makes sense that they would be like, hey, let's offer Ryan's kid. Is there going to be an offer? Like, or is this more of like Dabo saying, let's get another famous kid on campus a la Kirk Herbstreit's twin boys so I can have more good press, more, you know, that type of stuff. And if something happens, Ryan, guess what? Your boy's here already. Huh?
I mean, Sweeney's done it before. In fact, a lot of the criticism of Dabo Swinney and his lack of wanting to use the transfer portal has always come back to this. This is a point that I have to agree with, is that if you can give the Herb Street boys scholarships, Kirk, hey, listen, they're not going to play that much, if ever. They're going to do cleanup duty. And second of all, Kirk Herbstreit can pay for his boys to go to Clemson, right? We don't have to waste scholarships. There's former players that we've wasted scholarships on. There's a local high school in the Clemson, South Carolina area who, by the way, gave Clemson DeAndre Hopkins and Shaq Lawson and Jarvis Jenkins. So, and one of my friends by association is the head coach of that team, so I'm not going to knock them. But if you live in the Clemson, South Carolina area and the name Daniel High School comes up, people start itching and start scratching. Why? Because Sweeney has given scholarships to guys that's come out of this high school, because a lot of the coaches' sons that the coaches at Clemson has went to school there. But what's funny is he can give them scholarships and preferred walk-on status, therefore earning a scholarship later on, but he can't go into the portal and maybe get a few guys who might fill some holes until the prize recruits come in. I mean, I would not be shocked at this, guys, if maybe he's trying to lock in something. But I can't excuse that idea that maybe he would give Ryan Day, maybe dangle a carrot.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if Dabo Swinney happened to have a son that, you know, was good at football and he showed up in Columbus, Ohio, no, I'm not going to say no. We would all be saying he's been behind enemy lines and he's, you know, trying to grab our playbook and everything else. So JR, Chris, either you want to respond and ask Brian a question before he heads out. I know he's got to go here in a few minutes.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I just, you know, I just find it very, very interesting. But, yeah. I don't know that if I'm Ryan Day, do I really want to go coach with a guy who said that right before I beat him, by the way, that I shouldn't have even been there because I was no better than 11th? Come on. I would still be taking that. Well, of course, we know I take everything personally, but I would still be taking that real personally. I wouldn't even let my kid go to a recruiting visit there. But, you know, I understand it, you know, as far as Ryan Day, you know, he wants his kid to have the opportunity. And, you know, I personally have never seen RJ play. I don't know what kind of player he is. Is he somebody that's going to end up being a four-star caliber kid? And if so, I can't imagine him going.
Listen, he's
I can't
had
imagine
every...
going anywhere but where his dad's at if he's, you know.
I don't know, man. Would you want to?
Oh, sure. If my dad was the guy, I would go play for him, absolutely.
That's a lot of – that is a lot of pressure, man, to live up to.
A lot of pressure, you know.
You know, like, I understand if he's like, dude, I want to go blaze my own trail. I get it.
But, you know, but here's the other thing. If Ryan Day loses to that team up north again this season and he's out, because he will be out of coaching, given the fact that that team up north is nothing more than a JV high school team right now with a bunch of wannabe coaches, I would run him out of the game of football. He better win this game.
JR?
I can't see Ryan Day even thinking about options after he gets fired. The man seems like one of the most determined people that, you know, I've ever heard from. And he seems like, you know, just no other option but to, you know, accomplish the goal type of deal, which, you know, people can sit here and say, well, he didn't accomplish the goal the last 3 years, which, you know, true, that's fine. Cheating happened, but still, you know, we also need to be aware of that. However, even if it was going to happen, and Brian can probably help me out here a little bit, but I don't see the fit. You know, Ryan Day is the guy who's going to want to have his own kind of NFL style offense. To me, it looks like Dabo kind of has his offense. I mean, Tony Elliott ran it. Garrett Riley seems to be running it now. Am I correct in that, Brian? Garrett Riley's running Dabo's offense? That's what I heard.
See, that's another conflicting subject in Clemson. Throughout the season, we were hearing that Sweeney was helping call plays. Newsflash, Dabo Sweeney was never a coordinator. He was a wide receiver coach. Mm-hmm. So when he was hired as the interim head coach, everybody was shocked that Terry Don Phillips hired a wide receiver coach to take over the team after Bowden was fired midseason. So with that said, people in Clemson get really finicky seeing Sweeney over there with a little play sheet. And I know that you're sitting there going, well, a head coach can this and a head coach can that. Yes, a head coach can weigh in on the play calls. Dabo Sweeney has left that to his coordinators. And so the offense has fell off over the past few years. We all know this. All of college football knows this. And it looked really bad this past year. We could talk about the offensive line. There's a lot of layers to this, but I just don't know if Ryan Day would be a fit between their personalities, because I could see Ryan Day looking at him saying, "Hey, you hired me to call the plays. What the heck are you doing trying to call plays? You don't call plays. I don't care if you are the head coach. Trust your hire, man." Because the offense, once again, people are saying in Clemson, he was calling plays. Other people were saying, oh, no, he wasn't calling plays. You know?
Yeah.
And I've always felt like there is a similarity, and I know Ohio State fans won't like me saying this, but I've always felt like there's a similarity between Urban Meyer and Dabo Sweeney. Both Urban Meyer, Dabo Sweeney started out as wide receiver coaches. Now Dabo took over Clemson. You know, Urban went to, what was it, Bowling Green, then to Utah and stuff like that. So a little bit different career path there. But, I mean, both of them are high energy, high, you know, emotion, get the most out of your players type of guy. But both of them kind of have, you know, from what I hear, both of them kind of have a hard time with hiring staff after their ace guys kind of move on. You know, I mean, that was one of the biggest things with Urban Meyer when he was at Florida, was he couldn't keep bringing in the right staff because all his guys would leave for head coaching jobs or whatever else. And then at Ohio State, you know, he hired Ryan Day, which is great, but, you know, he did struggle in a few different areas with some of his staff and just remaining, you know, emotionally intact, which I don't know if that's Dabo's issue, but, you know, Urban Meyer was never a play caller either. But if you listen to stories from guys like, you know, Kirk Barton and Zach Smith, Urban Meyer wanted to call plays and would try to at times. But then essentially, like you said, Brian, the offensive coordinator would say, hey, you hired me to do this. Let me do this type of deal. And so that kind of just confirms my suspicion that there's more similarities between Urban Meyer and Dabo Sweeney than maybe we first thought, which who knows? Maybe that's even more reason why Dabo might hire Ryan Day, because Urban hired him.
You might want to watch that reference there, JR, because Urban's lobbing to find you and treat you like a kicker and playing a foot where you don't want it, let me tell you.
I know. Ohio State fans won't like it. I'm not very vocal about it because I know they don't like it, but if you look at it, they're kind of similar.
Oh,
although,
shucks.
Real quick, Brian, I mean, as far as that goes, do you feel that Dabo would be comfortable with Ryan Day on the sideline, given the fact that you say Dabo himself is on the hot seat right now? I mean, do you really want somebody who's got Ryan Day's record as a head coach being your offensive coordinator?
That's not, it's not a bad record, brother. It's not.
No, it's a good record. That's what I'm saying. Do you want that kind of pressure on you as a head coach? Because if you fall down,
ooh,
you've got your replacement right beside you.
That's a good question. I would also turn around and ask Ohio State fans, who do you have standing off in the shadows to take this guy's place. Yeah, he might have been born on third, but he might have been thrown the keys to the race car, but he hasn't wrecked the car.
Correct.
Who do we have in the shadows? I'll tell you, there's a guy up in Cleveland hanging out in the analyst room right now who I'm pretty sure is in the shadows.
So this all stems from the fact that Mike Vrabel, former Buckeye, former head coach of Tennessee Titans, is in an analyst position in Cleveland, Ohio. He could have jumped in several NFL positions, I believe, and or taken the position at Wisconsin with his good friend Luke Fickle, and he did not. He came back to Ohio. So, but yet you have Chip Kelly, obviously, which is Ryan's mentor. But, and I saw Jar of Happiness threw out a really crazy theory about that one, which we might get to. But this was fun. I know you got to go, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can find Clemson Football Live at.
That is right. Well, thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, Clemson Football Live on YouTube. Check us out. Drop in there. Talk some trash. We try to keep it civil, but talk some trash. Have a good time. Gentlemen, thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, if any more of your coaches wander down here and I find out about it, I'll let you know.
Perfect. Perfect. Christmas says thanks, Brian. Awesome. Good to have you, man. Go check out his show. He is by far, I'm not tooting his own, by far the best Clemson YouTuber out there. And he and I both know John Kennedy. So there's the connection. So crazy connection at that. So take care, Brian. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate
you. Take care, guys.
Okay, guys, there you have it, man. We're the first Ohio State podcast that I know of that has talked about this. That Ryan Day was in Clemson, South Carolina this week. Now, let's be frank. It was a recruiting visit for his son. And there was a couple things we need to get to real fast, including this right here. We've got a $2 holler from Boiler Express Dylan. Does Ryan Day dye his beard? Up for debate.
I don't think it's up for debate.
What do you say, Chris? Yes or no?
No, I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either. What do you say, JR?
He's got that jet black mane of hair on top of his head. That's, you know.
He's only 44. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 43. I got gray on my chinny chin chin.
I know, but I'm saying, like, it's not something where it's like every 44-year-old walking around has gray on their chin. It's not, you know, like, yes, people tend to start getting gray, you know, when they pass their 40s, but not everybody.
Especially if they're in high pressure positions, like being the head coach of Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Is Ryan Day leaving? Brian Oberst asks. No. But what we're saying is if he were to get fired because he can't beat that team up north, wouldn't it be interesting if on RJ's visit to Clemson, South Carolina, he didn't talk shop with Dabo Swinney?
And I don't care who you are. If you're a guy on the hot seat, it never hurts to hedge your bets, so to speak, a little bit.
Yes.
At least leave that door open.
Jar of Happy, just for men spokesperson. Bobby says he's had gray in his beard since his mid-30s. Yeah, it happens, yeah. Gosh, guys, this was such a fun thing to talk about. Again, I know when we clip this up and we post it, we're going to get people saying, why would you even talk about this? Because it happened.
Yeah.
Because he went to Clemson, South Carolina. Now, how good is RJ? He throws a good ball, but he's very, very young, and he's undersized, so he needs to develop. So,
But so was Tavian St. Clair. And
true.
He grew a little bit, and look at him now. He's 5-star. So
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into the next topic because I got to talk about this before JR leaves.
I'm so excited about this one.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Let me see. Here we go. Jake Diebler from Brian Oberst. Jake Diebler, our next head coach in basketball. Thoughts on that? JR, you're our basketball guy, man. You start it. Chris, you follow.
So I want to preface this by saying I saw a poll the other day where it said, are you a fan of the Jake Diebler hire? And the only options were yes or no. And there was no like in between or anything like that. I answered yes. Okay. So I'm going to start it that way by saying that. Yes, I am a fan of the hire. I also have concerns. I don't think my concerns are the same as other people because other people are saying recruiting. That's not a concern for me at all. Most of the players on this team, Jake Diebler is responsible for getting there. Chris Holtman was not a great recruiter. Let's be aware of that. I mean, he brought in a few guys, but at the end of the day, Chris Holtman's no Urban Meyer or Ryan Day or anybody like that. That wasn't his main responsibility. That was Jake Diebler's responsibility. And just so happens Jake Diebler's brother, John Diebler, is the director for recruiting down at Butler with Admata. So, you know, recruiting's in the blood with the Dieblers there. So I don't have that issue. My concern is the reason why Jake Diebler was so good is because he coached loose. He coached free. He didn't care if he was going to keep the job. He didn't have a concern in the world. I don't even really have that much issue with experience or anything like that. There's Greg Gard and all Chris Collins, all kinds of guys have come into the Big Ten and they're doing pretty well. I wouldn't say they're the best in the league, but they're doing pretty well. And they didn't come in with, you know, Division I head coaching experience. So, you know, I do have concerns about what happens when Jake Diebler has lost 5 games in a row. What happens if we haven't won a road game all season long? And he starts hearing it from the fans, because that was the stuff that Chris Holtman couldn't handle, guys. I mean, he tightened up and his whole team tightened up. And that is one of the biggest plus sides with Jake Diebler, like I said, is he was just loose. He was free. He was throwing Austin Parks out there. He was throwing Tayson Chapman out there. I mean, all kinds of guys that had already played all season long. He's just throwing out there and saying, you get minutes, you get minutes. I mean, all kinds of guys like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, that was the best thing to do that Chris Holtman wasn't willing to do because he was tightening up. Once the talk with playing time starts with the recruits and he's not the, you know, jolly old interim head coach, you know, how does that play into it when the fans start getting rough? How does that play into it? Stuff like that. I'm not saying that he's going to do poorly. It's just a concern. I'm overall happy with the hire, but I do have my concerns.
Now, see, I got a little bit different view on that as far as you said he was playing loose because he had nothing to lose. I disagree. You know, I think he looked at this as an audition. This was him trying to get this head coaching job. So I think that he had a lot on the line, you know, mentally. Did he do some things that might have been a little unorthodox in his rotation? Sure he did. But it seemed to work for the most part, you know, and I'm excited about the prospect of having him there. If for no other reason, then this guy is a motivator and he got this team playing with fire. You know, he had this team playing with passion. Holtman, I did not see that. Holtman, like I've said on this program numerous times, you know, there were times where he just looked defeated to the point where, you know, we've talked about, you know, teams that give up on their coach. This coach gave up on his team. You know, and I don't see that being the type of thing that Diebler is going to do. I'm really excited about the hire. Do I think that there are, you know, we have reason to have some concerns? Sure, he's not a real experienced guy. But like you said, he's got assistant coaching experience. He's got basketball in his blood. He's an Ohio kid. Which, you know, everybody says that doesn't matter. I believe it does matter. I believe it matters a lot. You know, you have a certain pride when it comes to Ohio State if you grew up as a fan, as a person in Ohio. Whether you're on the field or not, you have a certain pride for this university and for these teams. And I think that does matter. So, you know, I can understand where you're coming from with some of your reservations, but I feel like this is a really good hire. I think he's going to be a great fit for this team. And, you know, I'm just excited to see it moving forward. And, hey, I'm excited to see what happens in the NIT.
Yeah. I'll let you respond to this one. Sorry, JR. This one from Bobby McCormick. Does John come back to coach with his brother?
I thought about that.
No, he's with Thad Mata. He's not leaving Thad. He's going to be with Thad until Thad retires, I think.
Thad's no spring chicken.
Really?
I mean,
Do you think that he's with him then to take over for Thad? Could we have a little Diebler-on-Diebler action, Indiana, Ohio?
Possibly. I think he would probably need to improve his role to some kind of, you know, different than just director of recruiting. Typically, you don't see the director of recruiting, you know, take over as the head coach. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, or, you know, if Thad Matta suggested him and he was willing to do it, sure, it might happen. But, you know, I think Thad would probably develop him a little bit more in his role before that would happen.
What about a lateral move back to Ohio State, though, in that same type of position?
Well, if Butler starts losing and things are looking bad for Thad, it's very possible. But I also think Thad's a really good coach now that he's healthy. So I don't think that's – personally, I don't think that's going to happen.
Jar of happiness. Diebler was Bjork's first good choice. Buckeyes should be good for the next year. I want to read to you guys the tweet from Ross Bjork when he announced that he was removing the interim tag from Jake Diebler and offering him a contract. He said, "Jake Diebler possesses all the characteristics we were seeking as we conducted a very comprehensive and thorough search for a new head coach." So right off the bat, Bjork let everybody know this was actually a big search. They did do a search. Gene Smith, did you hear that? He did a search. Okay.
That's because that's what ADs do.
Yes. And then he listed the things that he feels Jake possesses that were things he was looking for. Coaching ability, passion, energy, integrity, and ties to Ohio. Interesting. That he would put that in that tweet. Now, I say that to say this.
Sounds like you're setting something up there, doesn't it, Eric?
Yeah, sure does, doesn't it? Ross Bjork, then, I don't know if you've seen the video. JR, Chris, have you guys seen the video of when he announces to the team?
I have not seen the video, no.
All right, get ready for this one. Bjork shows up in the meeting room. All the players are sitting in their chairs and desks. And this is right after, I'm guessing, I have to look at the timeline, but correct me if I'm wrong, someone in the chat, but I believe this was right after or either right before they announced the NCAA teams. And so there was a meeting taking place between Jake and the players about whether they wanted to continue their season in the NIT if they weren't selected in the NCAA. It might have been right after the selection. I don't know. Bjork walks in, announces to the team that they are removing the interim. Jake is your head coach moving forward. The team all is happy and excited. And then he has Jake sign the contract on the spot, on video, in front of the team. Gene.
I love it.
Who did he fail to have sign the contract who literally left this week?
He wasn't making that mistake twice.
Bjork. First off, I sent Bjork a message, guys, after the game. Did you see this, JR?
No.
Okay. I sent Bjork a message that said literally, like, sign the guy. And I wasn't the only one. After the loss to Illinois,
the hose
after
job.
The loss to Illinois, he posted a tweet about how proud he was of the team and Jake, and it was overwhelmingly the response from Ohio State fans. Sign Jake. He's earned it. Signed it. I think he listened. Now, I haven't seen the details of this contract. I'm hoping it's only 3 years and the buyout's not big. Is it five?
It's five. Okay.
That's kind of a lot for the first time. I will say that, but we don't know what the buyout is. I'm assuming that this hire from Bjork, he's already done two things Gene Smith didn't do well. He did a search and he had him actually sign the stinking contract instead of assuming the guy had a contract. Jeremiah Yoder, isn't Gene originally from Notre Dame or Notre Lane? Yeah. Yes. That's where he went to school. Funny story. Do you guys know who came off the field when Rudy came on the field? It was Gene Smith.
Really?
Yes. I learned that from Kennedy. Yes, Gene Smith was the guy who came off the field when Rudy came on.
Huh.
They didn't put that in the movie.
No.
Yeah, how crazy that.
At least he's done something right.
Yeah, JR, do you got to record tonight?
Yes, we have a live show. We're going to be talking about the NCAA tournament and stuff like that. If we're moving on to topic, I can go. But if you're talking about it for another 5 minutes, I can hang out.
I do want to get to this one. Chris Smith. There were some decent coaches available, but none of them seemed like a home run type hire. I agree with that. The ones who were said no. They asked if they were interested, and they said no. With something like
LeBron's not going to be happy. I'll tell you that.
I'm okay with that too.
Me too. I don't want that chaos. What's that?
What
did you guys want, Chris Gent?
I would have liked to see him be considered. I like Chris.
Yes, and we don't know that he might have been.
He was.
Okay, so he was at least considered.
He interviewed. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you know what? If at the end of the okay. Here's the thing, guys, and JR, I'm going to push back slightly on your concern. Did he not show you in these last eight games that he took the same talent that Holtmann had and did more with them in those eight games than Holtmann did all season long?
I agree. I don't think I had that concern. He definitely coached better. Yeah.
Okay. Number two, this is a coach's son. Okay.
Good point.
It's in his DNA, brother. Mm-hmm. It's in his DNA. By the way, his dad was a phenomenal high school, might still be coaching high school basketball. Phenomenal Ohio high school basketball coach. John Diebler and Jake Diebler, and now Jake is head coach of Ohio State, will have inroads with the Ohio high school basketball coaches that Holtmann didn't have for sure, and even going back to Thad Matta, who didn't have those inroads.
Well, that was one of the reasons why Jake Diebler was so successful on the recruiting path is because he knew guys from being in the high school game and his dad being in the high school game. I completely forgot about that, but I do remember now that he had more of those guys that knew him and knew of him. I mean, Jake Diebler was essentially the reason we got Devin Royal. Devin Royal was going to go to Michigan State, but if it wasn't for Jake Diebler convincing him otherwise, he came here instead.
And he probably played more in the eight games with Jake as head coach than he played
right,
combined
because he was
with
Jake's
Holtmann.
Guy. I mean, and I don't want to put anything on Chris Holtmann because Chris Holtmann, I think he was feeling the pressure and he didn't want to play his freshman because he didn't know if he could trust him, which obviously was the right decision. I'm not defending the guy. I'm glad he's gone. But at the end of the day, Jake Diebler knew all these guys better, and so he did trust him. And even if it's, like I said, Tayson Chapman out there for 3 minutes, those 3 minutes probably mean the world to Tayson Chapman, which he probably wasn't going to get if Chris Holtmann was there, and he's just going to sit on the bench and keep his warm-ups on.
There were so many mistakes Holtmann made. And this isn't the show to get into that, but I will say this. The fact that he failed to develop those freshmen, and when there were some mistakes made by the freshmen in these big games down the stretch, those were mistakes that should have been made against your non-conference opponents at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So that's just another this is a great point, Derek. If you can't trust your freshmen, why did you even recruit them to begin with? That's part of the sauce. It's already written into the development. Freshmen going to freshmen, right, when they're not five-star or all-star McDonald's All-Americans, they're gonna make mistakes.
Even when they are, they're gonna make mistakes. Even if they are an
Ask Kentucky. All-American. Beginning of the season, the Kentucky at the beginning of the season is not the Kentucky that's playing right now.
No, absolutely not.
The one thing I'll push back on a little bit, which again, I'm not defending Holtmann. I just think there's a bigger picture here and it's a little bit more than just he didn't trust the freshman. I think part of the program losing Malik Branham as quickly as they did was unexpected, and losing Bryce Sensabaugh as quickly as they did was unexpected. And so I have a theory, and again, this hasn't been spoken to me, so I can't say that I know this for sure, but I have a theory that some of what Chris Holtmann was doing was he didn't want to lose his freshman again, whether that be to the portal because they look really, really good, or whether that be to the NBA because, I mean, let's be honest, Bryce Sensabaugh, amazing offensive talent, but he was not ready at all defensively to play in the NBA. Now he's doing really well because he got there and they trained him up on defense to at least be serviceable. But at the end of the day, like, they lost him so quick. Same with Branham as well. And I wonder if maybe there was some of Chris Holtmann that was like, I can't play this guy because he's going to leave after 1 year.
You know what? That's the one and done is what we're living with in college basketball now. We just have to accept it and roll with it.
Right.
And just like the portal, the one and done is here to stay.
Right. And again, I'm not defending Holtmann. I'm glad he's gone. You know, he was not doing the stuff that needed to be done. I'm just saying, I think it was probably a little bit more complex than like him looking down the bench and saying, no, I don't trust you, Devin Royal. There's probably a little bit more than that going on there.
Real quick before you leave, did Huggins get considered? Did Huggy Bear get considered for this job?
No.
No? I can't.
No.
I'm not surprised.
He's done after the, what was it, DUI? He's done after
like
that.
It was like the fourth or fifth?
Yeah. No. It was a radio thing, wasn't it? That was the thing that eventually got him canned.
Yeah, but he's had quite a few DUIs, man.
He's had at least three or four, I think.
Yeah, they all compound, and then the radio thing happened, which I still don't remember that story completely, but I remember it being a big deal to them at West Virginia. I feel bad for that program, man.
Maybe Michigan should have him come in and start talking to their coaching staff, considering one of their guys got picked up this morning. Chris. Of course, if I had to coach at that program, I'd probably drink too.
Tony Alford's already bellying up.
Tony
Alford's
gone voluntarily.
Oh my gosh. All right, JR, go have fun at your show. We'll join you in a few minutes, guys.
One last thing. Tony Alford is a traitor, and don't you let anybody else tell you otherwise, okay?
That's right.
There are people out there saying, he's doing it for his family. He's doing it for this and for that. Listen, all right? This man was wanted by USC, Notre Dame, a ton of other schools.
Auburn, LSU.
There were all kinds of options that he had. He could have gone.
And he went into chaos.
Places, and he went to the team up north. He's a traitor. We don't like him. And obviously, I wish no ill will on his family or health or anything like that. Whatever. But at least on the football field, I hope he never wins a game again. And he feels the wrath of the Buckeyes. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, JR.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. And then there were two. We started with four, and then they were just us. You and me, big guy.
Well,
here we are.
You know, it seems like we end up this way a lot, and that's okay. I am just fine with that.
It does. JR's got to get ready for his big show on the Big Ten Huddle that gets started here in 12 minutes. So, and we were so thankful to have Brian from Clemson Football Live on the show at the beginning of the show. Go check out the beginning of the show. If you're just popping in here late, our numbers right now are awesome. Thank you so much for those of you who are coming in. In case you missed it, Ryan Day was in Clemson, South Carolina earlier this week with RJ, and we had Brian from the Clemson Football Live join us to talk about whether or not we believe, and he believes, Dabo Swinney and Ryan Day talked shop in case something bad were to happen to Ryan Day's job at the end of 2024. So that was the topic. So go back and check that out at the beginning of the show as soon as we're done here with this one, Chris. All right, one more topic we need to talk about. Where's Justin Fields at in your mind as in the list of all-time great quarterbacks at Ohio State? Before we talk anywhere else, go anywhere else. Is he top five?
Top three.
Top three? Really?
Oh, he's definitely top five.
He's top.
I think top three.
Okay, yeah. He's top five. You're breaking up on me really bad, Chris. Actually, it's
given the amount of time, given the amount of time he played.
Okay, yeah. Okay. If Chris, you might need to jump out and jump back in. I think you're getting a delay on your part. There's a delay. There's a bad delay on your part. So we're getting some of you guys chiming in. Jar of Happiness says Fields is top four. Bobby McCormick, top two or three for him. Wow. That's pretty high.
I'm with Bobby. I mean, I'm thinking top three. I mean, given the fact that he only really had 2 years, what he accomplished in those 2 years, especially given the fact that one of them was a, you know, shortened season, I really believe that he maximized his time at Ohio State. And I truly feel that what he accomplished, now granted, he didn't win a natty. And that disgusts me to this day. But you know what? I really believe talent-wise, and though the numbers, I mean, if you look at numbers-wise, are you going to tell me that JT Barrett was the best quarterback that Ohio State ever had?
You know my opinion on that.
The numbers aren't going to, the numbers would tell you that, but, you know, we know longevity. That's not the fact. That's right. So I tend to look at the sample size and what you accomplished during that sample size. And I truly believe that given his talent, he was one of the top three. But to what you were saying, no worse than top five.
Chris Smith, top five. Brian Obers, top 5 to 6. Frank coming in strong. He says talent-wise, top two. I'm going to make a guess, Frank, that number one for you is Stroud. If you're saying you're going to use the criteria talent-wise, I'm guessing Stroud 1 and Justin Fields 2. And then, Frank, my follow-up question to you is, where is Kyle McCord on that?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're talking talent-wise, I think you've got to look at really. And I've never questioned the ability of his quarterbacks up until Kyle McCord, but I mean, I think CJ Stroud, Justin Fields, and if you're looking strictly on talent wise, Dwayne Haskins is definitely in there talent wise.
Hold on. If we're going to talk talent, you got to mention Terrell Pryor too.
You do. And I totally despise him.
I know.
I don't despise Terrell Pryor. I despise what he did to the program.
Chris Smith, Honda McCord is on the Bowserman used car lot.
Don't insult Bowserman that way.
Oh my gosh. Stroud is my number one last 10 years. Oh yeah. But how much of that is because of what he did this year in the NFL? There is some recency bias caked into how you view Ohio State quarterbacks based off of what they have done in the NFL, true or false?
Oh, there has to be. I mean, you can't ignore that. But right? You know what? At the same time, as much as we got frustrated with the fact that he wouldn't use his feet, I don't think you can question the arm talent that CJ Stroud ever
had. No one does. But did you have on your bingo sheet that he was going to break NFL rookie records with the Texans?
I definitely did not, Eric. In fact, I dropped him from my fantasy team about 3 weeks into the season.
Ouch. The fact that you admitted
that. And I got
right now.
I got him in the 18th round as a keeper. And I dropped him because I didn't see it.
Okay. Hey, a jar of happiness. None. NFL is another level. What he did at Ohio State, numbers and accuracy wise, was enough for me. TTUN losses aside. And see, that's the thing. To me,
I don't think you can put those losses aside.
I don't think you can, because I look at it and say, in my lifetime, there's been one quarterback at Ohio State win the Heisman Trophy, and that's Troy Smith. I also, crazy as it is, how do you not consider Craig Krenzel and what they did in 2002? Now, I understand there's no comparison between him and what C.J. Stroud can do with the football and arm strength and reading defenses and pinpoint accuracy. But you cannot sit here and tell me that Craig Krenzel didn't have the heart of a freaking lion, man. So,
he did, without a doubt. And you know, Derek's got a question about Cardale Jones out there. And yeah, Cardale, he's a talented kid. You know what? Cardale got hosed by Urban Meyer. Let's call that what that was. He tried to fit a square peg into a round hole, and that killed Cardale.
In no particular order for Donald Hoffer, Justin Fields, Terrell Pryor, Troy Smith, Rex Kern. Well, you're going way back there, Donald. Good for you, buddy. CJ would be up in the top five if he got one win against TTUN. So see, he's taking that and putting that into the sauce as well.
Okay, but I'm going to go and I'm going to throw this at you. You can't sit here and defend Ryan Day for his losses to Michigan because of cheating if you don't give that same consideration to C.J. Stroud.
In fact,
I would also almost say that it applies more to C.J. Stroud than it does to Ryan Day. Because he's the one who was out there on the field and the other team had the playbook.
Don't forget about Art. The Delaware County Sheriff sure hasn't. As talented as CJ was, 0-2 against TTUN, Derek. See, this is the debate. And I didn't bring this up to create the debate, but I brought this up to talk about the fact that when we look at the totality of Ohio State quarterbacks and you begin to rank them and you begin to talk about the success they've had, there's a couple things that everybody mentions. The record against TTUN, any awards they won, their overall record, right? Any individual records, and what they did in the NFL. And for the longest time, those stinking fans from Ann Arbor loved to throw it in our face, Chris, that we had never developed an NFL quarterback.
Like they didn't either. Bill Belichick developed Tom Brady.
Until Tom Brady showed up, they had none either, okay? But my point is this. Justin Fields, after 3 years in the NFL, has been traded from Chicago. Thank you, Lord, because that place, good luck, Williams.
That's
good
where
luck,
quarterbacks
good luck, Caleb Williams
die.
Going there. Yeah, good luck. We'll see if he pulls some kind of Eli Manning and tries to get out of going there. Was traded to Pittsburgh after Pittsburgh had previously traded for Russell Wilson. So it appears that Pittsburgh has hedged their bets. And if Russell Wilson comes into Pittsburgh and falls flat on his face, which I think he will, they've got a backup now in Justin Fields to become the possible starter for the Steelers. You hate the Steelers, Chris. You are a Browns fan. I don't hate the Steelers, but I'm a Bengals fan. We see them twice a year. Can I be honest with you? I'm kind of rooting for Justin Fields to succeed in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, this is my thing, Eric. I don't disagree with the fact that, you know, first of all, I don't disagree that Chicago is a train wreck. As a Browns fan, I hate the fact that he went to Pittsburgh. As an Ohio State fan and as a Justin Fields fan, I love this move for Justin, and I'll tell you why.
It's a good landing spot for him, brother.
It is a good landing spot. You have a solid running game. You've got a coach who somehow every year gets at least 9 wins. Every year. You know, you've got a quality defense. You have yourself going in, competing with Russell Wilson for this job. And this is the scenario for me. Yes, you're right. If Russ falls flat on his face, Field steps in, he gets the starting job. But here's another way to look at it. If Russell Wilson doesn't fall flat on his face, if he goes in and he has a good season and gets the number one job, and Fields takes a year to just step back and watch and be the backup, Russell Wilson is 35, going to be 36 years old this season. He's going to go out there. If he has a great season, he is going to demand max contract money. Short of winning the Super Bowl this year with him, is Pittsburgh really going to give max contract money to a 36-year-old quarterback who depends on his athleticism? I can't see it. So I think Fields, even if he doesn't get it this year, is the starter next year. I think that it's a good move because they also know that they're not going to have to change their offensive scheme. Now, Fields is younger. He's faster than Wilson. But skill set-wise, a young Russell Wilson and a young Justin Fields, as far as what they're capable of doing on the field, isn't that far apart, though I think Fields is more athletic. So, to me, I just feel like this is a no-lose situation for Fields. And as much as, I say I'm so irritated at the fact that they got him for, what, a 6th-round pick next year? How the Browns didn't step in there and give up a 5th-round pick just to throw their body in front of this happening, I have no idea, especially when you got, you know, King Pervert up there playing quarterback. It just irritates me to my soul. You've got a quarterback who's missed more games than he's played since you signed in this enormous contract. And here you go. You've got a guy on a rookie contract. You could give up a 5th-round pick to get him, and you could have had him. But, you know, they let him go instead to the Steelers. Great for Justin, bad for the NFC North, or AFC North. You know, that's all there is to it.
If this is all we're ever going to see from Justin Fields is what we've just saw, and he's going to become a perennial NFL backup quarterback from this point forward, if it is. Mm-hmm. Was this I guess what I'm saying is, how does that change your perspective of Justin Fields as a former Ohio State quarterback in the pantheon of ranking him?
It doesn't. Because I'll tell you what, no matter what he does at the NFL level, he still exemplified greatness at Ohio State. You know, I think that and I mean, I think he'll forever be known for a lot of things, but to me, that hit he took against Clemson, and then he gets up.
Yeah.
And what's the first thing he does?
Throw a touchdown pass to my boy, Chris Olave, my 6th-grade suede dress shirt. Yeah, you know, the dance shirt known as Chris Olave.
He is just a tough, smart,
that was the moment.
Nothing will ever change that.
That was the moment. And he did it against Team Up North too, man. Got hurt, came right back in, threw the touchdown pass corner of the end zone to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, he's not a pansy like they got up there in Cleveland. freaking Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, DB Collins, Justin Fields is one of the toughest players in football. It sure feels that way. Patterson, Justin Fields, most talented QB to come through Columbus. I still think if you're going to look at talent alone, Terrell Pryor might have been better. Just straight talent. And you know, no one mentioned Braxton Miller that I can remember reading through these comments. No. No one mentioned Braxton Miller. And I think it's because Braxton Miller's arm wasn't, you know, well, we know by the end of his collegiate career, he didn't have an arm left. But
no.
Braxton Miller might have been the most Michael Vick-like quarterback I've ever watched in person. I've never had the opportunity to watch Michael Vick in person.
He was a human joystick, man.
I still, from time to time, dream about the spin move in Blacksburg, Virginia, against Virginia Tech to open the season. You want to talk about setting an impossible standard in a game is when he did that, you thought that was the way it was going to be the rest of the year,
yes.
And it never came to fruition. Bobby McCormick, Pryor's accuracy was iffy at times. Yes.
What drove me crazy about Pryor, though, Eric, was just the way he lobbed the ball up, just lofted up there. It seemed like it hung up there forever. And somehow he completed a lot of them, but it just seemed like it hung up there forever, like you're just waiting for another team to come and pick it off.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hail Mary, Jar of Happiness, Miller to Smith. He corrects himself for the next comment. Smith in Wisconsin game, his best pass. Yeah, that Hail Mary, that was awesome. I was jumping up and down when that game. That was a great memory. Anyways, Chris, so Justin Fields is going to be wearing the black and gold, man. And I tell
Aaron,
you that's,
Aaron right now is somewhere celebrating.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping Aaron could get on the show tonight. It's probably going to be another week before we see him, sounds like. But – Aaron is probably extremely happy about this as being a Pittsburgh fan. And as we've seen, a couple of you in the chat are as well. So that's fantastic. Again, if you're just now arriving, our numbers are fantastic. We got even more people popping in here at the end of the show, Chris. Go back, watch the beginning of the show. We have Brian on from the Clemson Football Live podcast, and he breaks down the news that Ryan Day and son RJ were on Clemson campus earlier this week, and how ironic when he goes on this visit with his son to go view the Clemson campus for RJ and as a quarterback recruit, that next day is the day Tony Alford leaves.
Who knows if Ryan Day was even off the plane yet coming home?
Yeah. That was that's just unbelievable. And I love what what JR said on the way out. Don't let anybody tell you that he did this for his family. That's a bunch of hogwash, that's a bunch of weak-minded, plain patty cake fans. Stop being like that.
Yeah.
Get some cojones. Have a little bit of testicular fortitude about yourself and call it like it is. Dude betrayed you. He spit in your face, okay?
Told you before, Eric. He didn't slap you in the face. He kicked you in the groin.
Yep. Oh, man. But anyways, we're gonna turn the page on that. Chris, we're going to have another call-in show later this week, right?
Absolutely. Psyched about it. These things have been going great. I love it.
Yeah, if you've never come to our call-in calling. Show. If you've never come to our call-in show, we invite you to do that. We've been doing them on Friday nights at 8 o'clock. Seems to be going well. We probably might just stick with that if it's all right with Chris. We might have to move it to Thursday at some point.
And if they keep calling, we'll keep talking, Eric.
That's right, as we did this week. Yeah, KP called in from Youngstown, and we talked for an additional 30 minutes. Also, I want to give a shout-out and a thank you to Brian King, Chris Smith, Jay Thompson, and Larry Daniels, the first four subscribers who joined us on our YouTube channel. So you can join us as members of our YouTube channel. You will get, when you do that, after a month, you will receive an official member t-shirt of the OHIO podcast. You will get content that you cannot see otherwise that's behind the membership paywall from Chris, myself, Aaron. We'll be adding to that in the weeks to come. So there'll be additional members-only content. You will also receive when on our website, theohiopodcast.com, when the store is added, which we will be working on that next on the website, you will receive free shipping on anything purchased from the website. And we're going to have memorabilia. We're going to have autographs, not from Chris and I. That wouldn't mean anything, but autographs from former players, coaches, et cetera, that you can purchase. Also, we will have other stuff too. Some things that Chris is
Bobby don't give us any ideas.
Chris as a vendor can do. We're gonna have hopefully some hats on there very soon. Looking at doing that as well. Some t-shirts, things of that nature that you can purchase. But you will receive free shipping on any of those purchases if you are a member of our YouTube page. It costs $3.99 a month. That's it. $3.99 a month for all of that. Plus you get what YouTube will offer you, these little badges that shows you're a member and things of that nature as well.
Chris, and I promise you we'll come up with more than that. We'll come up with little things for members along the way.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
What is this? Larry Daniels, what would Alfred do?
What would he do? He would stab you in the back as soon as you turn around, the little weasel. And then he would make sure to run and hide.
Will there be members-only jackets?
Yeah. So I said, don't give us any ideas, Bobby. You know?
Whoa. Hmm. Maybe.
Flashback to the 80s?
Maybe. KP! That's my boy for called in. KP, love talking to you guys Friday night. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, KP. Man, it was awesome talking to you, brother. Chris Smith with a $20 holler. Great show, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Chris. We truly appreciate that. We appreciate you being a part of the show and being a member. So we appreciate that. If we do jackets, Jar of Happiness wants them to be old school. Some old school
jackets. And we can arrange old school.
We might be able to. This is a new one. Jabba the Hutt Alfred. Can kick rocks. Jabba the Hutt as a nickname for Tony Alford.
That's cold.
Ouch. Guys, great show tonight. Thank you so much for all of you who participated in the chat. We really do appreciate it. We continue to grow. We continue to get bigger and better. And it's because of you guys, and we appreciate that. Go check out theohiopodcast.com for articles, and we'll continue to be adding things there as well as we just continue to grow the show. We have some new videos this week for you guys, as well as like I said, the call-in show at the end of the week. So be on the lookout for that. A retro starters Nikes jacket for the OHIO podcast.
The starter jackets? No star. Why don't we just get us some Steve and Barry's while we're at it?
Jiminy Christmas. How old do you want to go back, man? My goodness, you can wear Converse with those as well. That's crazy.
Actually, you know, the Chucks are back, man.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Seriously, I bought some for my daughter last year. That's what she wanted.
Well, the Chucks. Yeah, for the girls, not for dudes. Not for dudes. It's hip for girls, but not dudes, man. Come on.
I don't know. I'm so old.
Hey, dudes. Now, that's a different story. Hey, dudes are great. Hey, dudes are amazing shoes. All right, we got to get out of here. We're making a mess of this thing, man. It's been a lot of fun. Check out the YouTube channel every single day. If you haven't already, like, share, subscribe, ring the bell, get notified. That way you won't miss it. Be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Till next time, Chris. OH.
I owe.
Go Bucks.